This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, lady to lady listeners. We have got some exciting news for you. We've got a new monthly show, and our first one is this Sunday, March 1st. And the lineup is bonkers. We've got Maria Bamford, we've got Kyle Kinane, we've got Solomon Giorgio, and we've got us, the ladies. And it's a new monthly show that we're doing the first Sunday of every month at this super cute venue called The Airliner. It's in Lincoln Heights, which is kind of near Dodger Stadium. They've got, you know, cute cocktails. They've got food. They've just redone the whole bar. It's really cute. I think it was on Bar Rescue. So if you're into that show, come see it. But yeah, we're really trying to pack out this first show, and the lineup is so amazing. It's all only $5. You can get tickets on our social media. We've got the links up everywhere there for the Eventbrite link. So please come on out and support this first show, and we will be there the first Sunday of every month. The show is at 8 p.m. Doors open at 7, and we can't wait to see y'all there.
I'm Babs Gray, and I don't know about you, but I loved Eminem in Little Women. That's why he was on the... Okay.
That's why he was at the Oscars?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's my joke about it. Old joke.
Are they going to start calling Eminem old?
I stand... Barbara, I stand your joke.
Man.
Old man.
I loved him as Beth. Okay.
I'm Brandy Posey, and not a lot of warlocks dressing like Lindsay Buckingham, you know? Because witch is dressed
that?
Like Stevie Nicks.
That? I got it. I gotcha.
Stevie wins.
Or does Stevie dress like a witch? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm Tess Barker, and how much meditating till shit stops being whack?
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to Lady, Lady to Lady.
Ta-da. Welcome to the show.
Hell yeah.
We are Lady to Lady, the podcast, and...
The movie, the book.
I don't know why I'm introducing it.
The Empire.
But hi, thanks for listening to us. I think sometimes we get a lot of new listeners randomly. We don't say hello to them. We should say hi.
Hi,
hey, guys.
What up?
That's our traditional introduction.
Yeah,
what up to you and your family?
And big ups.
Whatever.
We're all a little punchy. It feels good.
Yeah.
And we have an amazing fourth guest on this week. I just met her this past weekend. She did a picture of this, and I was like, she's so funny. Come do my podcast. She's got a great Instagram show called The El Selamans with her and her wife, Iman El Husseini.
Yes. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thanks
that
for doing it.
Such a fun show.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. You were great. I really loved your stuff off the top.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks. I was riffing about if Valentine's Day had a Krampus.
Like, oh, my God. What did you come up with? Tell us about your riff. Please.
It was mostly just like drawing like a Cupid with like horns and shit because I was wrapping up my set. But I was like, oh, it'll be funny because like with Christmas Krampus, you get like whipped if you're bad. But it's like it's Valentine's Day, so people might be into it. Yeah. So be like, oh, you're... Cupid Krampus just shows your parents your sex tapes. That's what he does. Just the worst.
I feel like Krampus is a kink for someone, for sure.
Without a doubt.
Everything is a
kink. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is the right. Everything is a kink. Hashtag. That's what I'm running on.
I love
for
it.
For presidential.
It's so true.
Vote for me. Everything is a kink.
That's a pretty good time.
Tess and I forgot to talk about this. We went to Sundance Film Festival because I'm from Salt Lake, so it was easy to go. We took the bus up from my parents' place.
It was
fantastic.
Very budget friendly. Mm-hmm. But we met Lin-Manuel Miranda. Mm-hmm. And because our old producer, David, who's one of the best people ever, he texted us and he's like, I saw you're going to be at Sundance. I'm working up there for deadline. You guys should come up to the deadline thing. Yeah. And we're like, okay. And he's like, because on this day, Lin-Manuel and Miranda will be there. And so we were like, yes, please. And so we went And
it was amazing.
We met him.
It was amazing.
And he was very nice. And he said he listens to Lady to Lady. I don't know how much that was true and how much of that was him was being a very charming famous person.
Yeah.
Probably the latter. But
he had heard it before.
Yeah.
He heard the Anthony Rapp episode, I'm assuming.
Because I said Anthony Rapp did an impression of you and he said, yeah, I heard it. And he was like, which is so weird because I used to grow up listening to Anthony Rapp singing Rent. And so that was me doing an impression of him and whatever.
The cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon.
And then he sang Rent with us. I got a little stage fright and was not able to sing along. Oh. I was just like...
a lot of staring.
That's a lot. That's
and then
high
somebody
pressure.
Treated us nicely and gave us free gift bags with a giant scarf.
Yeah.
Oh.
I got a beanie.
Did you see that the gift bag for the Oscars was like $400,000 or something?
Aren't they usually like that?
Yeah, they're usually expensive, but maybe more. Aren't they like $100,000 usually? I feel like $400,000.
I don't know. I forgot that that's a thing of it, Oscars, which is so funny because it's like stop with your fucking speeches and getting $100,000.
Yeah, there was like a $70,000 cruise or something in it.
Wow,
that's so funny to get a cruise because like to force someone to go on a thing.
And here's the
there's
thing
a lot of assistance going on that cruise.
Yeah,
here's the thing about a cruise at $1,000. A cruise at $75,000.
You want to go on that cruise.
You do. That's the cruise you want to go on. Yeah. You much prefer that.
Also, I just love the idea of someone re-gifting a Oscars cruise from a swag bag.
Oh, yeah.
It's a two-week luxury cruise to the Antarctic worth $78,000.
Wow.
Sounds great. Oof. That makes me want to win an Oscar. That more than
the actual Oscar. Hilarious.
Wait, this is everything that's in the bag. $25,000 worth of facial procedures and treatments from plastic surgeon Dr. Constantine Vazuzovic.
Oh my
know.
God.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's like two procedures.
$25,000?
That's like nothing.
Oh, it's nothing. Oh. I'm like, I'm going to get everything done. Okay.
Yeah.
A trip to the famous Golden Door Spa. A week long stay is $10,000.
But that's what I'm saying is that's why you can't give this to all these famous people because we've talked about this before. How awkward is it to be super famous and you have to make small talk with other famous people all the time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then what? You're going to be stuck on a cruise with them?
Nightmare.
Nightmare you
to just be on a cruise with George Clooney.
Well, you probably
Clooney.
Have, like, the biggest room possible to yourself. That's, or a whole, like, section of the yacht. I'm assuming it's a yacht.
It feels
a cruise,
like a yacht.
I think
right?
so.
I would think.
It sounds, I'm picturing something very Succession.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Which I haven't watched yet.
But you get the gist.
But isn't a yacht a personal cruise?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I mean, personal-ish.
Maybe they've got a big cruise line with a bunch of little yachts
That's
in it.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. I can't imagine that a $78,000 cruise takes place on a carnival ship.
Maybe it's a refurbished carpet. Maybe they put a new carpet in that carnival
Maybe.
Ship. Been on a carnival cruise. It's not. It
Have
feels
any
like
of us
a
performed
carnival.
On a cruise?
Choir.
Not.
I've done a choir performance on a cruise.
Wow.
Yeah.
But like you were on it for an extended amount of time?
A week.
I feigned a few conversations on a cruise ship once. So it felt like performance.
My friend who I wrote my musical with, his job is he sets productions of Cats on
That's
cruises.
Great. Terrorizing middle America.
Yeah. And it's even funnier because he has a phobia of cats.
And cats hate water. So
I know.
It's fun for everybody.
Yeah. I think, have you guys read the David Foster Wallace essay, The Supposedly Fun Thing I'll Never Do Again?
Mm-mm.
I think
Cats is based on?
Yeah.
It's actually, TSL. It's based on the T.S. Eliot poems. No, The Supposedly Fun Thing I Never Do. It's about him spending time on a cruise. And it's a really funny piece.
I believe it. I like
some about that whenever I think of cruises.
It's pretty good.
It's just like there's a certain like Groundhog's Day-ness to a cruise.
Yeah. It's weird because it's like being in the middle of the ocean and not being able to see land.
That scares me. I'm scared of water.
Yeah.
I'm not like a great swimmer and I'm always afraid. Like that would be the most terrifying way to go for me is to drown.
Yeah.
Yeah. Water scares me. And just being on a boat and you're stuck and you don't see land. Yeah. I'm with you.
It freaks me out. Plus it's like how deep is it below me? I always want to be like, how deep is it? That's what I want to yell at every crewman that I see on a cruise ship at any time.
Yeah. I think for me, the enclosed thing freaks me out. I think it's... not feeling like I can I like traveling distances throughout my day.
Right.
Like feeling like no matter how far you walk, you're still going to be on the same boat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's very discomforting.
For sure.
Yeah.
Also, the fact that I remember every time on a cruise ship, the entire time on a cruise ship, is sharks follow cruise ships because they dump all the food waste behind the shark, behind the cruise ship. So they're sharks just following a cruise ship. So if
that's a sitcom.
Yeah. Well, it's a murder.
Sharks ate well after Titanic, baby.
Just like an undersea, a bunch of fat sharks following cruise ships around. Wow. They're also wearing Hawaiian shirts. Just like, boo, it must be Turkey Tuesday. I don't know.
What was that movie called? Do you guys remember that movie? I don't know if it was called Blue Water something. Open Water.
That is a great movie.
That is like my horror film. That's a version of, remember how they like, spoiler alert, how they die in the end and how she just basically kills herself.
Yeah.
Because she could, oh my God.
That was like, that's actually, I don't love horror movies, but that's one of my favorite horror movies.
Oh my God. Because it's so horrible.
Does she kill herself? I guess I'm going to get confused with the other one where
she just gets off the side of the boat.
Well, like, aren't they like both trapped in the middle of nowhere? And he dies because a shark like bites his leg off or something.
Oh, she's bleeding out.
And then she just like goes underwater and the movie ends.
It's such a dark and like,
oh my God.
It's all in real time. So it feels like really realistic. And it's all just like, there's only one setting. It's just them in open water. It's such a good movie.
True to the title.
That is.
Yeah.
That is a deep nightmare of mine.
Yeah. I'm still looking at, I'm going great white diving this year.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go this year. There's two options. There's one where you can go in warm water off the coast of Mexico. Uh-huh. That one is like a 5-day excursion. It's like a few $1,000s. Uh-huh. Or if you don't mind the cold water, they'll throw you on the side of the boat up by San Francisco. But that one's only like $600.
For my peace of mind, I'd rather you pay more money to dive with sharks. It's like LASIK surgery where you don't want to deal.
Yeah. That's a thing you could probably pay.
Yeah, like
also just for your enjoyment wise.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, who wants to jump in cold water?
Yeah.
I mean, but they probably put you in a dry suit.
Oh yeah. It'd
still be
cold. So you won't get cold? I don't know.
I don't know how dry suits work.
I think you get cold-ish. Mm. I think I'm actually leaning towards the cold water one.
Really? Just maybe it's a more interesting experience.
Yeah. Well, the water is actually supposed to be more clear in Mexico. The benefits of the cold water one are cheaper, so I can do it sooner. Mm-hmm. That's the main benefit. And then the sharks are bigger.
Oh.
Well, tip the guy an extra $50.
Good idea.
The shark already tipped him, so she's...
Hello.
Yeah, exactly.
Iman, tell us about your Instagram with your wife, because I'm looking at it.
Oh, so my wife is also a comedian, mm-hmm. and we've had like our separate career for over 10 years individually, and everybody asked us to work together, because especially if we like share, we're on the same show and we follow each other, we talk about being married, so everybody's like, why don't you just do something together? And we're like, no, we don't want to work together. We already do so much together.
We're not a duo.
But yeah, I mean, everybody really pushed us into it. So a year and a half ago, we started, well, no, almost 2 years ago, or more than 2 years ago, we started doing the cartoon. So we're like, okay, fine, we'll do something together. Mm-hmm. We'll have our friend Jesse, the very talented illustrator, help us illustrate these cartoon series. So we did that 2 years ago, and every Tuesday we come out with a new cartoon based on our marriage.
Cool. Okay, so you have another illustrator, but you come up with the dialogue.
Yeah, we can't draw. We're not that talented, unfortunately. We just do comedy. That's
only one talent.
That's it. I know. We're always so we're Canadian. So when we moved to the States, I just feel like everybody's so talented. You all could like sing.
We
or
were talking about how
this.
Gross it is. It's like,
oh,
just
really?
Keep it to one thing.
I don't know. And we're just like, we're comedians. That's it. And sometimes we still bomb, so I don't know what to tell you.
That's the great equalizer about being a comic.
Do you guys both usually mutually realize, like, when the thing happened in your marriage that you're going to cartoon? Or do you sit down on, like, whatever day and be like, what should we do?
We think about it. I mean, so it started off, they used to be, like, our basically Facebook status updates. Mm-hmm. And whatever was really popular, we just, like, gathered all of those, and that's how we started with the cartoons. And now whenever something happens, we're like, nice. Yes, let's do.
Have you ever been in the middle of a fight and been like, write it down.
Yes.
We're going to use it next week.
Yes.
I want to keep talking about this, but make sure you write down what you said.
Actually, it's one of the cartoons you'll see on the account. We were in an argument and just wanted to get out of it. And she's like, oh, I think somebody tagged you in a photo. And I'm a Leo. I'm like such a Leo. I'm just like so. And I'm like, what?
Tag me?
Okay, I'll be back. Let me find this picture.
What's your guys get? Yeah, what's your get out of fight distraction? I'm trying to think. I mean, I don't. My boyfriend and I have only been together a year, so the fights have been. You know,
I know, still honeymoon stage.
Yeah,
no
yeah.
Fighting as much.
He understands to not anger.
No, wake the beast.
I don't think I have one. I like to just keep going.
Total Aries.
So funny. Yeah.
Does he like to keep going, or
his,
he wants to
and
shut
this
it down?
Is so.
Oh God!
So
I can't
bad.
Wait to hear this.
His is trying to hook up with me. Seriously, he'll do that. Like, I'm like, you. He'll like think like we'll be mid fight, and he'll like grab my boobs, and I'm like, really?
Well, maybe he thinks it's hot when you're angry.
It is a little, I guess. Yeah.
Like,
there's something
the
sexy about it.
There
yeah,
is
exactly,
something sexy
passion.
About it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is so funny.
Let me just turn down the anger right now. Just twisting your nipple.
Switch gears here.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's funny when you... I haven't worked with the romantic partner like on comedy stuff, but my old writing partner, you know, we lived together, so ideas would come out naturally all the time because right. we were for these sketches we would do, and then when we would sit down and try to write them, it was mm-hmm. so hard. There's so much the ones where we sat down and we're like, let's think of an idea, we're like yeah. so much worse. So mm-hmm. if
totally.
We still live together, we might have some funny ideas. Rest in peace, Barbara and Winnie.
I don't know. I feel like almost all of my creative ideas come from real life. Like, I'm just astounded by people that can just pull things completely out of fiction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just sit down and be like, oh, today I will create a world.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, remember The Artist's Way? That's why it was so popular, because they like forces yeah.
you have to really
write.
Work on it.
Yeah.
It's, like yeah.
it's a skill. Yeah. I know. I was in some group that started, the Facebook group that like started The Artist's Way in January, and I think I looked at it for a day and I got the book and I was like, I'm not, this is not happening.
I never got past, like, I still have the book. I never got past the whole 3-day, three-page journal, journaling thing. I
did it
like,
once.
You know,
did you
it.
Did. You got all the way through it.
I think I drew once. I
yeah.
drew
yeah.
once.
I think I wrote for about 2.5 weeks.
Oh, that's
it was, like,
good.
The longest I ever did it. But then
that's
the,
so good.
Yeah.
But did you finish the book?
No.
Because even the book, I can't even
no,
finish the
I
book.
No, I can't finish the
Have
book.
Have we ever met anyone who's finished the book?
I don't think so.
Whoever they are, they're not a real artist, all right? They didn't get distracted.
Like a lawyer or something.
By, yeah.
They didn't sleep in and then hit their alarm as long as possible. That was always the hardest thing for me, because I'd be like, I got shit to do in the morning.
Well, they've got
I'm going to sleep in it as long as I can.
It's also for like people with very regular schedules. My schedule could not be more all over the place. There's mm-hmm. never 1 week where I'm like, today I wake up at this time and then this happens. It's just not.
Yeah, exactly.
I will say the part of The Artist's Way that I feel like I naturally do, like to my detriment, is when she's like, take yourself out on a date. Right. I'm like, I always do that.
Yes. That's the only part we all
that's
took away.
Yeah. That's what I do to not do the things I should be doing.
No problem.
Does that mean jerk off when I'm supposed to be writing? Because that's usually what totally. It means for me.
I mean, if that's how a date ends, yeah.
With myself, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just going to take this little lady out on the town.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, God bless us for trying, you know?
Yeah.
Every one
We're
of
the
us.
Brave ones.
But it's true. It's so hard to actually like sit there and try to come up with something. I feel like we need like interaction. That's why I love going out of the house, just hearing conversations, you know, but being at home and actually applying yourself, like,
no,
I don't think that works.
It's kind of like when someone's like tells you to talk.
Right.
Like you'll talk when you're not supposed to talk, but when someone's like, let's do an exercise, turn to your neighbor and talk. It's like,
So do you have a thing where each one of you want, like you have a funny conversation that's like, well, whose bit does that get to be?
I think we're so different. This is the thing. And a lot of people, the other thing that people ask us is if we're competitive. We're so different. And the way we speak is so different, and our delivery is so different. So it's really hard. I don't think we've ever fought over a bit. She's definitely taken lines of mine where I was
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
You're punching up each other's stuff.
That's it. She'll be like on stage and she'll do something and I'll be like, oh, really? Okay. You're doing that now? That bit? You know?
So you get to know. Late we didn't talk about first, that. That's
she actually did one of my lines. On, it's a throwaway line just because I'm Palestinian. She's Jewish. So I just say this is how our family has reacted because people are usually completely silent. Like, is this a joke? I can't believe you guys are together. And she used it for her Fallon set when she did the Tonight Show.
Oh,
and I was
nice.
Like, oh, all right. Okay. I guess you're taking that line. That's right. For Tonight Show, like, out of all things. All right. Okay.
That's like when people, not that you did this, but you know when like someone posts like a good picture and then their friend, not a professional photographer, but their friend's like, oh, who took that?
Yeah.
You're like, fucking shut up. Like, no one cares that you took this iPhone photo eating ice cream or whatever the fuck.
It's not
if you're
you,
a professional
it's the
photographer,
iPhone.
That's different. But yeah, it's but it would have been funny if you'd been like, who was that written? Like, oh, I liked that tag.
Yeah. Who wrote that one?
Just so you know, on Fallon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just so you know, Jimmy, that was all me. You're like in the green room.
Like, well, it was so fun because I was in the green room and what's his name? I always forget. Questlove came in the back and he's like, cool. I really loved your Palestinian material. I'm like, I'm the Palestinian. It's me.
I'm the reference. That would have been really funny if she was doing her set and you just like, wait. We should all do this. Like, referencing your partner and
they get to pop out.
Like,
I'm the one. Yeah. I'm the one they're talking
Whenever
about.
I hear Sean talk about me on stage, I just cackle really loud. And people usually know it's about me.
Yeah.
There is something to the invisible. Like, we've talked about this before, but being... It's weird when you like hear somebody, it depends on what they're talking about, obviously, but it's almost, it is a little bit weird being like my person and you're like sitting next to them and you're like, I know this is about you.
Yeah.
That's why it just needs to be like an anonymous crowd of people I've never seen before in my life who don't know
Performing
anything.
For strangers is the best. I don't want to see a single person I know in the audience ever.
No.
Ever. Yeah. Absolutely
and I feel bad because I think if you're not a comedian, you're trying to be nice. You're like, let me know when I can see one of your shows. And little do they know, like, we'd rather you didn't.
No.
Yeah.
Exactly.
If you come stay in the back, I don't really want to see you. Don't see
and don't tell me you're coming.
No.
Only talk to me after the show.
Yeah.
If it went well.
You know what? You know what the weirdest thing is? When you roll up to a comedy show with like a friend that's not a comedian and they're like they start moving to go sit in the front and you're like, oh no, I don't do that.
Yeah. All right.
That's always I kinda like to sit in the front of a comedy show.
Oh.
Yeah. Or towards the front. Like I don't mind it at all. Like if I'm there, I actually find it relaxing to just like sit and laugh at. Yeah, I know. Or I think also because
fuck Tess. It's against our code.
Sorry. Well, also like especially if it's a show where like no one is sitting in the front. Like I don't mind being the one to sit up
front. No, I'm a good like I will watch someone and genuinely enjoy a show.
Yeah,
I think it's just that old thing of like it does suck though because I've done like where someone's like, hey, you, and you're like, come on, man,
don't talk to me.
I'm not a normie. Thank you. I'm not
a
civilian.
Have a card we should all flash like a badge. Hey, don't worry.
That's so funny.
Yes. A bozo notes.
Open mics 10 years. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, just like a badge inside of our notebook that's just like a fucking.
Just a notebook with insane scribblings of the same word over and over.
Yeah, does this look like a schizophrenic wrote this? Then, you know what happened. Just the word asshole written over and over and over again. And that means something to me.
Right.
I know. My wife really memorized. She always makes fun of me because I rewrite in my notebook before I go on stage.
Oh,
like over and over. And I was like, what is wrong with you? She's not, I don't know. She used to be a lawyer, so she's, I don't know. You know, she's good with memorizing stuff,
right.
I guess.
It's like all of mine are just the same list of words.
It's the same
10,000
thing.
Times
same
in a row.
Set list. Mm-hmm. Same. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's something comforting.
You think something's going to come out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to look at it. I so rarely try not writing it down, but I feel like if I didn't write it down, I wouldn't remember it.
Right.
Yeah. I wouldn't remember. Yeah.
I also, I like to put it on my hand if it's longer set.
All right.
Yeah.
I'd rather, because I think it's less distracting. I would rather, like, have it to know that I can look at it if I need to versus being like, oh, fuck, what am I going to do next?
I really try to trust myself and not do it anymore. But, I mean, for a long one, it's like, there's no way. I'm definitely going to forget half the shit.
Yeah, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's just a little bit of how the sausage is made, everybody. we'll be back in a second.
Hey, welcome back to Lady, I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And we're the Mon.
Hi.
Say hi.
Welcome back. Did you guys meet doing stand-up?
Yes, in Montreal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, where we started. Yeah.
Were you friends for a long time first?
No, barely. I mean, if you see us together, you wouldn't even think we would be friends in real life.
Right.
We are so yeah, different. That's we were like friendly for 2 years before anything romantic happened.
Oh, that's I feel like that's a long time. Friend, but like, that's like the long getting to know each other game.
Yeah, yeah.
How'd that go down?
I mean, it was good. We started working more closely together because I started producing a show in Montreal that we ended up touring in Canada for Jewish and Muslim comedians called Kosher Jokes for the Halalidays.
Name's great.
That's amazing.
So we ended up getting a lot of media attention, and her and I would hang out, would go out for lunch before, after, whatever. And that's how we got to know each other. And I was like, ooh, she's so... And I hadn't been with women before.
Oh, wow.
And all of my girlfriends who are married with children were like, having sex with a woman is great. And I'm like, I'm a female comic and I'm super wild and I party all the time and I haven't slept with a woman yet. And you guys are like, anyway. So I think the combination of getting closer to Jess, getting to know her better, and the curiosity of being with a woman, all of that combined, I thought we were just going to have a fling. And then it was, you know, like real lesbians. We fell in love and got married.
Wow. That's adorable.
Yeah, thank you.
I love that.
Yeah, I think like, well, I mean, I've only had like one relationship with a woman, but my experience with it was that like, because I fucked a lot of guys and I didn't with her because it was like she was my friend and I was getting to know her and I also didn't know what, you know, whatever. And then all of a sudden it was like, there's a thing that's just going to happen here. I mean, it was a train wreck, but like had to happen basically. So it was like, I think because I hadn't been with a woman before, it was like, oh, I don't have this like tension because we're just kind of friends. And then the tension comes and you're like, whoa, there's tension.
Well,
not like that default thing of like, oh, we got drunk together, oh, fuck it,
right? Which like happened to me with guys,
which is actually how I got together.
I was gonna say, you and your husband.
That's how we got together. We were friends for like 5 years first.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And like we were like flirty all the night we got together, and I was like, am I gonna fucking make out with Sean Green?
So you had no feelings for him? You guys didn't have feelings for each other?
No, I mean, I remember like I remember thinking he was cute and we always got along really well, and he was like a go-to person that I would like text on Friday nights. But I mean, I used to recommend him to like girlfriends. I'd be like, he's such a nice guy.
Such a rom-com situation. Right?
I know.
Yeah.
And then we almost made out and I drove him home and I was like about to make out with him and I was like, this is a bad idea. You guys are good friends. And he got out of my car and then he turned back around and like tapped on my window and he was
my gosh.
You should come inside.
Yeah,
wow. And then we got married.
Oh my god, what if he hadn't done that? I bet he would have, like, you would have at some other point because you'd planted the seed.
Yeah. But I think that, like, I always tell him, like, thank god that you had, like, the chutzpah to, like, turn
for
around.
Real.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
sweet.
And then you made out underneath his American flag.
And now you podcast under it.
You podcast under it.
It's a holy object.
Salute.
Okay, we're going to play a sleepover game called This or That.
Ooh.
And you basically decide this or that.
Self-explanatory.
Very serious questions here. Cake or donuts?
Oh my god, that's so hard.
It's difficult.
Cake, donut, right? Simple.
Wow, Babs.
Not that simple.
It's not. It's so hard because the icing and the cake.
Yeah.
It's cream cheese icing, then cake. Mm,
cream cheese icing is by far the best.
That's the number one thing. We don't need any other icing.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, none of that, just white plain. What the fuck is white frosting?
Just the sugar
icing?
It's
so bad.
Ooh, it's awful.
I don't love all frosting. I mean, what's on a Tres Leches cake? Because that's the best cake.
It's not cream cheese, but it's like...
Dulce de leche cream cheese?
Maybe.
Maybe.
It is, but that stuff's good.
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
Yeah.
It's good. I say, old-fashioned donut, which is a cake donut.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Mm. Hard disagree. I love raised donuts.
Oh, man. I go donut for sure. Apple fritter. It's my number one.
I can't have apples unless they're in their regular shape. But like cooked.
It's weird. They're
I get it.
Right?
I get it.
Yeah.
And I
don't like apple
candy juice.
Oh, apple. Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think? Cake or donuts?
I guess I have to make a decision. Cream cheese icing cake.
Nice.
I'll go with cake.
Good call.
Okay. Yeah. Right?
Good call.
I like donut also because it's just like it's like any self-serving.
Definitely.
You don't have to cut. It's like,
well, I'll also
just
eat
give
the
that
whole
to
cake.
Me.
That's
another thing. It's true. Yeah. And I love donuts. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge donut fan.
Absolutely.
So this is a very difficult decision.
I mean, donuts are like masturbating for your mouth.
Right.
Yeah, they're great.
Yes. I mean, like, will, just because of this conversation, have to eat one today.
That's what I mean. Like, you just hear it and you need one.
Yeah.
I will put a donut in my mouth.
And I will say, I actually find my like ideal meal before a stand-up set is like a donut and coffee.
What?
I love it.
I couldn't do that.
I couldn't do that. Yeah, I get like this perfect like energetic focus buzz.
A little bump. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I did Do You Need a Ride with Karen and Chris a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about Krispy Kremes, and then it's in a car, you're driving around,
right.
And we went to the Krispy Kreme drive-thru and got Krispy Kremes during the podcast, and they were as good as I remembered them.
So the problem with Krispy Kreme, you're saying you would eat the whole cake. You can't eat just one.
No.
In high school, that was one of our like marching band fundraisers, and all of us would like, you know, get the orders in, but we would all order our own too for like that day. As soon as we were done like packing stuff up, we would just all like eat a box of them next to each other. It's just mainlining sugar.
Yeah.
Just immediately into my body.
What are y'all's feelings on Girl Scout cookie season?
Love it.
They're out. Like, I haven't ever seen as many Girl Scouts out as I've seen
this
last
gotten
week.
Militant at this point.
I love it. I love everything about them. I love Girl Scout cookies. I look forward to them every year. Last year I was buying my yearly Girl Scout cookies outside of the Ralphs, and some persnickety old man came up and like to this 10-year-old girl was like, "Huh, Girl Scout cookies? How come we don't have Boy Scout cookies?"
No. That's like a really bad stand-up scene.
I know
he's tried that on.
God. Yeah. And I turned to him and I was like, "The Boy Scouts sell popcorn, the cookies are just better." And then I bought my cookies.
They don't have Boy Scout cookies. What a freak.
What a total lame-o.
You showed them, old man.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I think it's great. I love them.
Yeah, they're great. What's your go-to?
Thin Mints.
Thin Mints.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a Thin Mint tag along Samoas.
Same.
Or my top three.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
That's right.
Never fuck with the shortcake one.
I mean, if someone has them, I'll eat them.
Yeah.
But I don't order them.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a foreign concept for me. I'm Canadian. We didn't have.
Did you guys have any Girl Scout thing?
We might have, but I don't know. I don't remember anybody coming over with cookies. We would have definitely bought some. Yeah. But I know that you guys have like kinds. It's a specific thing in America, right?
There's like six different kinds of cookies, and then there's like a 2 week, 4 week period. I don't know.
Only time that you
can
order
it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like a limited thing. So that's why everyone like, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
And
then if you're in the Girl Scouts, if your troop, whoever sells the most gets like a prize.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So I also like that it's like teaching girls to hustle.
Yeah. It's the Glengarry Glen Ross of little girls.
Yeah. And I think like they don't change the flavors. So there's something very like Christmassy about it.
That's nice.
Yeah. You know, like you kind of have your same cookie that you liked from when you were a kid.
Mm-hmm. So you said they have six different kinds. Is that it?
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Everybody so likes Thin Mints like the popular.
Thin Mints is usually number one.
I'd say Thin Mints is number one. Yeah.
I like the Samoa. I think they changed the name.
They did.
That was, not. Like
coconut
what,
chocolate.
They taste coconut?
They're like coconut and chocolate.
Okay.
Yeah. Chewy.
They're really good.
But I remember we ran into, I haven't seen this girl in like 20 years. We ran into one of these girls who I went to school with, who was in my Girl Scouts troop, and she's Hawaiian. She had a huge Hawaiian family, and they would always buy shitloads and beat the fuck out of the rest of us in the Girl Scouts. We'd be like, God damn it, they won again.
It's funny, like the girl that grifts it the most, because they'll sell like thousands of boxes, and you're like, well, what? That's not fair.
Yeah.
You have a whole system in place.
It's a good lesson in life, though.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Okay, this is a good one. Massage or facial?
Facial, 100%.
Really?
I don't like to be touched.
Very
really?
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, not for a long time. Like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Facial. I love facial. I love gross skin stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Are you like a Dr. Pimple Popper
I
fan?
I love that shit. Yes.
See, I feel like I've only had one facial in my whole life and I loved it, but I love massages so much that every time I'm like, I can't afford both, so I always just go for the massage.
Yeah.
But I feel like I need to sometimes rotate in some facials.
Yeah.
Because it relaxes you in the same way, right?
It is very relaxing. Mm-hmm. Again, I love it, and I have terrible skin, so facials work for me. But once my wife was so mad. My wife is like, she loves massages. Like even in the airport when we're traveling on the road, and it's like, you know, you have 15 minutes before. Yeah, she's all over the massage tables. I'm the opposite, but yeah, facials I love. Yeah. I love, love. Yeah,
I just got one a couple weeks ago for the first time in forever. I shouldn't have gone Groupon, but I did. Because whatever.
Yeah.
But they like barely got anything out of my face.
Really?
Which is my favorite part. And I was just like,
yeah, I've only done one and it was a Groupon and it wasn't good. So yeah. I haven't done it again.
I'll tell you girls, there's a place up here that does cheap facials.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And good?
Ooh. I liked it. Yeah. I mean, if you like a painful facial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't like painful. Oh my God. Painful, I went to a really expensive one in New York recently. The guy was so amazing. It was great conversation too. So the combination of great conversation and an excellent facial.
Yeah.
But it was really expensive.
Yeah,
it's like $300.
I will say, just so you all know, in the world of slime, haven't been that caught up in it lately.
Okay,
yeah, yeah.
But you know, like
big into Instagram slime,
gourmet slime. Mm-hmm. There are people
gourmet slime, gourmet.
There is a thing that is like sold in stores now that are fake pimples you can pop. You put on your face and you can pop. And squeeze.
Whoa.
Wow.
So that is where we've come to.
But I feel like that's
where Dr. Pimple Popper has led.
To me, the satisfaction of a pimple popping is like getting the shit out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of course. Exactly. You want the relief.
You gotta work it.
Yeah, you're not fake.
That is available.
Yeah.
If anyone's interested.
Imagine being a poor kid with like really bad pimples and going to the store and being like, people are buying this?
Right.
The thing that's ruining my social life?
Like buying glasses just to be cute?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
God damn it.
I've thought about doing that. Okay.
No, I don't care about that. I feel like that's a stand-up joke from like 20 years ago. Okay. Oh, I don't have one. I said that like I did.
Let's see. Car or truck?
Car.
Yeah.
White gas?
Gas, everything, yeah.
White gas?
You don't want to be the truck person.
Yeah.
And your friend. I mean, you...
I mean, I'm okay with it.
I mean, you do, but like, then you get hit up for the truck all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's more my thing, where it's like, then you're the person everyone's like, can we use your truck?
No, but you just establish that you are not that person.
Yeah, that's true.
And then...
Give me $50 so you can borrow my truck for the weekend.
Yeah, truck boundaries.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's probably got to be a big thing when you buy a truck. They should give you a class for truck boundaries.
Yeah. I think they make like koozies or keychains that are like, yes, this is my truck. No, I won't help you move. You just gotta get one of those.
I will say that friend of the pot, I don't know, David Van Huysen, Dard, he has a truck, had a truck, rest in peace. And he's also a tall man.
Mm-hmm.
And so both of those things just made me assume he would help me move a couch, which he did.
Oh.
But he didn't do the moving part. He was like, no. I'm not also putting it on the truck. And I was like, but you're big.
Was there another person around?
There were other people around who I made do it.
I was going to say boy, but then I was like, that's sexist.
No, it was actually really funny because it was like, us struggling trying to get it onto the bed of the truck, and then Whitney from above, from a window, ordering us on how we should do it better. And I was like, you need to leave right now.
You gotta not
you
be
can't
here.
From above, tell us how to do this.
When I was moving out of my apartment in Santa Monica, I lived on the second floor, and somebody sent my sister and I to move the fridge out. And we were like there by ourselves, and we like tried to move, and we were like, oh, we can't do this by ourselves. And like we had to move out of the apartment. So my sister and I just stood on a street corner until someone would help us move the fridge. And we found someone.
That's great. This is, lessons in hustling.
Exactly.
I saw a really great bumper sticker today on someone's car that said, adults in the car, we want to live too.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, I love that.
I like that.
That's great. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is interesting because I was like reading about the baby on board thing, and it's like, but the baby's not always on board.
No, it's not always.
Mm-mm. So what if this, what you imagine like trying to save and be like, oh God, where is it? Where's the baby?
I
can't find the baby. I've never seen this before. I saw this on a walk the other day. I saw like dogs in the house. I saw that on someone's
house. That's for, firefighters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. But I just was like, oh, I've never seen that before.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. My friend, who's, she'll admit that she's not a good driver, when she had her kids, her baby daddy at the time wanted to get her one of those stickers because, and this made me realize maybe this is why other people do it, she's such a bad driver that he was afraid that someone was going to, road rage against her.
Oh.
And the baby on board was like, please don't road rage me.
Oh my God.
Whoa. Yeah.
Did it work?
I guess so. She didn't get. Yeah.
This is my this is a joke, and I'm sorry, but this is my pitch for ex-boyfriends for stickers. It's adult baby on board.
Oh. Hello.
Man-child on board. Okay, that should be it, actually.
Oh, I saw one of the best license plates I've seen in a while the other day.
Well, tell us.
Tell you about it, you guys. I was coming down from a show up north through, like, farm country, and had a guy that had a calf man, but he, like, had calves in his car. Like, he had
calves. Like baby cows?
Like baby cows.
He had real baby cows? Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was transporting cows, but then he had calf man. Like C-A-L-F. Like, do you like calves on your legs?
Calves. Okay.
Yes.
I thought it was really funny.
But that's not like a calf man isn't a thing to begin with.
Well, yeah, but it's funny.
So he said, like, ass man, he had a bunch of donkeys. I'd be like, all right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that would be better, wouldn't it?
That really got tests. You never know sometimes when you're going to hit.
Oh, just a truck full of donkeys.
Where are we going?
They're cute. What cute
ears. I love the donkey. Always smaller than I think they're going to be.
Right. And they have such nice eyes, like camel eyes. Right?
Know,
they're like
big,
just so sweet.
Like brown eyes.
The eyelashes. Pretty tails.
Yeah, the eyelashes, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So cute.
Okay. 3 meals a day or 5 small meals?
Three.
Mm-hmm. Five
big
small meals.
Yeah,
three. Usually, honestly, I'm a 2-meal maximum person.
Yeah. Yeah,
also, we're too busy for this shit.
That's it.
5 meals a day?
It's exhausting. How do you
I
keep
have time for that.
I can't believe how often we have to keep thinking of new shit to eat.
Yeah. I mean, my sister is really obsessed with her body, and she's actually training to become a, you know, one of those, like, model.
One of the, like, a muscle
fitness
person?
Not like super jack, but anyway, fitness model. Not too muscular. Mm-hmm. And she's all about 5 meals. Every single thing she does is
well, that's the thing. Is if that's your life, she obviously is like that, focusing on that.
Yeah.
And like maybe, but I'm like, I can't keep up. I can't.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just.
I mean, that's a job in and of itself.
That's right.
Yeah. It's a whole thing. I got a big one, guys. Prepaid or contract cell plan?
See, this is question. There's some questions in here that make me realize this is from about 15 years ago. Because there's Pretty Little Liars or Real Housewives. Like, they're not 15, maybe 10.
New Year's or Valentine's, considering that it just happened.
New Year's or Valentine's.
But they're both overhyped.
They both have a similar,
but
like,
but you have to choose one.
I'm so, like, festive, and I like to celebrate everything, and it drives my wife nuts because we have, like, 18 anniversaries, and I just into Valentine's Day and New Year's.
That's
and Christmas
cute.
And, you know. But to pick one, maybe New Year's, just because our anniversary is on February 21st, so it's close.
Does it get lumped in a little bit?
Yeah.
I'll say, I walked, my parents have moved to, like, they lived in a newer place for the last few years. Mm-hmm. I showed Tess this, like, little landmark of my past, if you will, when we were there. But they live right by my, like, college boyfriend's old place.
Oh.
And so when I go home, I get to see the corner where on New Year's Eve I drove up to see if he was sleeping with the woman who I found him kissing. And then he screamed at me for being quite crazy. So I get to experience it. It gets a little flashback every time I'm home now. Get to just see that part of my past. I also think about the cheese and white bread pepper sandwiches he'd make from the cheese he bought at the gas station. You know, lots of...
I think that's as least as traumatizing as the New Year's story.
I was saying I want to do a bus tour of all my, like, shitty hookups and experiences I've had called Map to the Scars.
I love it.
Hey, there we go.
That would be fun.
And then I'll have, like, exes hop on and do a bit. Hop on, hop off. My heart.
I'm Mambo number 5.
That's great. All right, let's do one last one. Okay. Well, make it a good one, guys.
Good boy.
Where are you guys getting these questions?
It's
from?
Just some
the internet.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Are you all on the same thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Vampires or angels?
We all know how those have always been the opposing forces?
Angels. I get scared. So angels. I hate horror films. I get scared easily.
I know,
I'm just,
I do
you
too.
Know, just like, yeah.
I still watch them. I don't know why. Yeah.
I think because I have a thing with needles and veins and stuff, yeah. And vampires give me the heebie jeebies because, yeah, like, all that blood. I don't think that's sexy. Yeah. Like, the idea of an artery being
bit. It is weird to me, yeah, that that's a sec. That's a. Become is a sexy thing. A vampire is supposed to be sexy. That's not sexy. Uh-uh.
No.
Well, I guess biting the neck, there's something sexual about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Blood gushing.
Kissing,
I mean,
it, but
takes
not
away. Yeah.
Ripping into the flesh.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, not so much.
So, yeah, if I'm going to fuck one, it's going to be an angel.
It'll be an angel.
I always think of Alan Rickman in Dogma. His best
that was
little,
a good angel.
Yeah, little Ken doll.
Yeah, a little Ken doll. He just looked real, he had a real good hoodie suit jacket combo in that. Think about that. I loved Alan Rickman.
That was the original before any comedians wore that on stage.
Yeah, yeah, they were all competent
style.
Thank
God. Guys stopped wearing that, didn't they?
It's basically
what were they wearing?
The hoodie with the suit jacket.
Oh, they did stop doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
thank
pretty
you.
Much
that. Hats off to whoever stopped that trend. It was good on him, but.
Yeah, yeah. Is there like a comedian uniform in Canada? The way that there are down here, it feels like everyone wears like the same.
We go through phases.
Yeah, yeah.
Jean jackets right mm-hmm. now.
I mean, I started in Montreal, so it was quite different. People like are very, you know, stylish and French leaning and, you know. Yeah. But I do remember being in Vancouver one of my first times in the green room. And it was just me, you know, how it's like often like that at comedy clubs. It was just me and 18 guys. Mm-hmm. And they all looked identical. Like they were all in plaid shirts and beards.
Okay, it's the same one.
And they were all like introducing themselves with like super white names. And I'm like, I'm not, this is never going to, I'm never going to remember.
I'm like a mix between but
I could not believe how every single guy looked exactly the same.
Yeah.
It was crazy. So I guess maybe that lumberjack look in Canada.
Yeah. I could see that because we've got a touch of the lumberjack. Jack here, but I'm sure in Canada it's really pumped up.
Yeah.
What do you consider a full Canadian tuxedo? Like, is that just
jean jacket and jean shirt and jeans and jean shirt?
Jean shirt
underneath. Top it off. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
But if it's just the jean jacket and jeans, that works. But I think if you add the jean shirt, that would be
Full. Okay, yeah. Got it.
That's the full lino, baby.
Yeah, yeah. Cool.
We're gonna take a break and then we'll do a lady problem. Everybody, we're back on Lady Lay and Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And we're with Amon. And we're going to do a lady problem. If you have one, send them to us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com. Also, we're starting up our newsletter again, so email us there for, I don't know, we'll have a thing where you can sign up for it.
Yeah.
And those will be our dates. And we'll be talking about dates we go on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And dates you can see us perform.
And dates that you can eat.
Also, if you fast forwarded through our tour date break.
Yeah, you can listen to it now.
Back that shit up because we have a couple of dates coming up.
We do. We have a fun new monthly show. Mm-hmm. First Sunday of every month at the Airliner. It's a cool bar that they've just like redone. It's got new food, new drinks, and all the stuff. And it's kind of near like Dodger Stadium. So
yeah,
that our first one's going to be on March 1st at 8 p.m. Doors at 7 p.m. Show at 8 p.m. Come out and see that. There's also, we've got a bunch.
We're gonna be in Boise that weekend right after that, the 7th and the 8th, Boise, Idaho. We're doing a live podcast, we're in a live stand up show, and we have a stand up workshop. Come to those shows.
Yeah, the live stand up show is on the 7th, and the podcast
workshop.
I almost said network workshop is on the 8th. So yeah, please come out and see us. We've got our links and stuff up on our website, ladytoladycomedy.com. There.
Can't wait.
Is that the business? Do we take care of the business?
That sounds like the business.
Hell yeah. Tricked you into hearing tour dates, and it isn't even the break.
Okay, let's get into some advice.
Lady problems. Lady problems, do you have them? Lady problems, do you have them? People have them.
Dear ladies, long-time listener, first-time writer. First of all, I identify with the girls eating ice cream meme and fully support your decision to make it into a billboard. Thank you. Second, even though you joke about not being experts, I love hearing the advice you give because you each have a different and equally valuable perspective. I'm hoping you can help me with my lady problem because as much as I love my therapist, it's not her job to give advice and I really need it now.
Wait, isn't it her? All right. It's kind of their advice.
No, they don't give advice, though. They just like...
They do somewhat. They tell you like how to look at it something different.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like that's advice.
So. Yeah, I guess they can't say like dump them though.
No. But they
sometimes
say, like,
they should.
You should look at it. Anyway, so.
Anyway, here's the lady problem.
If you're a therapist, go ahead and write us in and let us know if you give people advice.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the lady problem though. My husband is 32 and I'm 35. We got married less than 6 months ago and I find myself fantasizing about being single all the time. Is this normal? I'm an extremely independent person. I've always prided myself on the ability to be self-sufficient. On the other side of the coin, I have a hard time identifying my needs and asking for help. I also hate conflict. So when my husband does something that I feel threatens my sense of individuality, for example, criticizing the way I act when I'm with my friends, instead of defending or asserting myself, I stay quiet and soothe my discomfort by imagining being single again, having a weekend completely alone, not having to compromise on what to watch on Netflix, making meals without having to consider what my partner doesn't eat, being with friends without worrying about how my behavior will affect my partner. In my fantasies, it's blissful being single. I love my partner and the fact that we both value personal growth. We're actively trying not to repeat the damaging patterns of our families of origin, and a big part of why we got married is our commitment to continual improvement. We're both in therapy, learning how to identify our emotional triggers and respond to others in a healthier, less reactive, and more thoughtful way. Growth has been important to us since the beginning of our relationship. We've been together for nearly 9 years, but infuriatingly, the possibility of splitting up has been a reoccurring theme for the last 7 of those. Let me explain the breakup cycle. My husband comes to me with a request to the effect that I treat him better in some specific way. I'll always make a solid attempt at giving him what he needs. I'm often not 100% successful right away. At some point along the way, he tells me that if I don't change my behavior, then he'll leave me. So I double down on my effort to treat him better, and then I usually end up following through for at least a short time. So we're okay for that short time, but eventually a whole new issue will crop up that I have to work at, or I'll stop behaving in the way that he wants me to, and that wound is reopened. As a benign example of the type of behavior change he asked for, I developed a habit around texting with him when I go out with friends or if my schedule changes because my reflex is radio silence and that bothers him. The biggest reoccurring breakup level issue in our relationship is sex. He wants it a lot, but I could take it or leave it. And when I don't initiate, he feels rejected. Last week, he let me know that he's going through a transformative period in therapy where he's learning that he deserves to get what he wants. He told me that on the other side of this work, it may not make sense for us to stay together because of the scale of the change he's expecting. But then he held my hand and told me he'd love me and hope we could stay together. I'm exhausted from working so hard to treat him the way that he wants to be treated. I don't think the things he needs are unreasonable, but the fact that he's constantly asking more of me is draining. I hate feeling like my relationship is at risk because it makes me insecure, which is the opposite of how I should be feeling as a married woman in her 30s. What's worse is that I don't feel resilient enough to assert what I need from him, so I let him walk all over me. I do most of the chores because it's emotionally less taxing for me to just do them than to ask him to do it. Ladies, I'm in a relationship burnout. I'm in a spot where I'm only seeing the negative things in my partner and forgetting why we got married to begin with, and I'm resorting to fantasies of singledom. I'm not getting what I need from him because I'm not asking for it, and I'm not asking for what I need because I have this zero-sum notion in my head that only one of us can get what we need at any given time. Not to mention the fact that my partner is still threatening to break up with me after we got married is not cool. We used to see a couples counselor together, but we stopped going because our therapists moved away and we never found another one. What should I do? Should I seriously consider a divorce? Am I the asshole here for not trying harder to give him what he needs? Should I try to stop fantasizing about being single? How should I go about asserting my needs in a way that doesn't cause me to freeze with panic? I know this is a lot, but I will seriously appreciate any advice you can give me.
Ooh. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yikes.
It's quite a conundrum to be in. I mean, I think this is one of those examples, and this is most of the time when people write in, but especially this is like, I think you really need to like listen to, you know, yeah, everything you just told us.
Reread what you wrote to us.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I don't think you should feel bad. You've obviously tried a lot to give him what he wants. I don't think you should feel bad. It just sounds like you maybe naturally aren't the person who produces those kind of things.
Well, and what do you want?
Like, yeah, why don't you say what you want? 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, you haven't.
I identify with that. I'm very bad at speaking up for what I want, so I get that.
Yeah, I mean, and in that case, I think it's like you're mismatched then, because it's like you're with somebody that is going to keep pushing that boundary. Because, and to his, so I'll give him this: you haven't pushed back to tell him to stop either,
right?
You know, so it's like he's. That pattern has been established as okay to him, which it isn't, obviously, you know, reading this. I mean, it's...
Yeah, I mean, as somebody who's... I have a really, really hard time for speaking up for what I want in many factions, sexually, like relationship-wise. I don't know what it is. I'm not good at, which you wouldn't think, you know, knowing me, but I'm not good at it. And so I realize that, like, my relationship now, I am much better at it because it's just... He's someone who I can do that with. I'm not perfect at it still. I still like hold things in and then they come out at the wrong time. Mm-hmm. But in the past, at this point in the past with people I was with, it just wasn't going to happen. Like, I couldn't make myself do it. I would promise myself, like, this is it. You're going to say what you want. And it would just never come out. So I totally identify with that. But unfortunately, it's kind of like a, you know, square peg in a round hole thing where it's just like sometimes.
It also feels really manipulative to me that he's threatening, like, over what seems like some kind of disagreement, he's threatening his spouse to leave her. It feels like ultimatums are being made. And I feel like once you get married, of course people get divorced and marriages end, but, like, you did make a commitment to, like, be married together. And so breaking up shouldn't be, like, your first go-to at the sign of conflict.
Well, and if that's something he's been throwing down for 7 years, it feels like a lot of, like, boy crying wolf, where it's like nobody wants to, like, there's a difference between you can care for somebody but also know that you should not be with them anymore, and neither one of you wants to pull the trigger on this, and somebody needs to because it neither of you are happy. You know, you can tell, you can, because he's not, because he keeps threatening to break up with you, but he doesn't want to leave you because he cares about you to some degree. And
That's I think what is going on, is they both care about it. It's like both are maybe too scared to go through with it, which is understandable. You know, and also you do love each other, so you go through these big fights and then you feel bad about it, so you're like, wait, no, we can work this out. And it's like that ongoing thing over and over and over until some point you're like, well, how many times do I have to fucking do this? I've tried to be the person you want me to be. I can't, and I'm not getting what I want from you.
I also feel like these fantasies about being single, to me, that shows that she's not being allowed to, like, hold the space that she needs in the relationship. Because, of course, when you're with someone, there is a certain degree of, like, it is really fun to be alone and, like, do whatever the fuck you want. Yeah. But, like, as much as compromises are made, like, you should still feel like you're able to kind of, like, occupy your space in your life in the way that you want to live. And, I mean, the fact that there's not space for you to, like, have a night and watch what you want on Netflix... shows that you know that you're not being able to, like, express yourself fully in this relationship.
Well, and I wonder the fantasies are like the voice in your head that you're trying not to listen to too, where it's just like, I want to be single because I don't want to be in this anymore. And it takes a long time to let yourself hear that. So they are coming out as fantasies because you're just like, that would be nice. This is what I actually want. And
it's not like a fantasy. It's like maybe what you want.
No. It's the thing that you want, and I feel like maybe you feel guilt around wanting that, especially because these didn't start until after you guys got married, which is like a binding, you know, thing, you know? So it's like, I think for both of you, it is probably better to figure a way out of this.
Get divorced.
Yeah, get divorced.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
it seems like it. Exactly what you said. She's fantasizing about being single and alone and feels trapped. If she doesn't feel like she could express herself to her husband, I mean, what's the point then, you know, to be married? He's not a stranger that you have to, like, cater to, you know? This is life.
Well, and this is, they got married less than 6 months ago, too. It's like, that's like the... You just got married. The coffee machine still smells new.
Get that new coffee machine smell.
Because it's like, what are they holding back for? You're married. Like, what's left to... you may as well show this person everything. You're married to them. There's nothing to withhold, or shouldn't be really anything to withhold.
And maybe if she tries to be honest with her feelings, maybe they'll turn him on and turn her on, and maybe the sex will get revived, you know?
That's
sometimes
true.
When you switch things up, it could be...
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, maybe that, I guess I'm just kind of leaning, I hate to say it, but I'm kind of leaning more towards the divorce. And maybe this is just the way I'm reading it, but this guy kind of sounds manipulative to me.
Right. To threaten that way? Yeah. So, yeah, childish and horrible. But, you know, she kind of allowed this by being so kind of submissive or just doing whatever he wants.
He's just reading the cues. In a lot of ways. Well, and I wonder, too, it's like, you say you can kind of, like, take or leave sex with this guy, but, like, of course, because you aren't actually connected in a good way, or he is asking for all of this stuff. So it's just like one more thing on the list. So it's like, yeah, you're not going to feel sexy when you're like, okay, but I do everything else. Or, oh, and now I need to do this too. Like,
yeah. I mean, you know, we're a comedy podcast and I think very rarely have, you know, we'll like joke about dump him or whatever, but you know, this, I think rarely are all of us being like, divorce. That's not often being said. It just does seem like from what you've told us that you've really tried everything and that, you know, you exactly what Tess said. Like, if you're not even able to feel like you can be your own person within this thing, that's very worrisome and you deserve to feel that, you know. And God, it's so hard. Like, I don't know why it can be so hard to ask somebody for what you want. It's I don't know why it's so challenging and scary, but I think it is just about showing somebody who you truly are, and that's really a scary thing, and that's why you have to be with somebody who can like get through those barriers, because it's like the most raw, vulnerable thing you can do. So you need to be with somebody who you just feel you can be that with, and you'll find, you know, that will happen.
Yeah, and I don't know, maybe it is worth trying to do that with this guy. I mean, they've been together for a long time. They did get married. I agree. I think if you're successful in that, in one way or another, I think it will open up your relationship to a new phase. It'll either be that it's a breakup phase, or it will feel like a new relationship, and you're going to see sides of each other that you've never seen before, and it'll be really exciting.
I mean, yeah, if you could challenge yourself to really do it, because either way, it's going to help you. If you stay with them or not, it's going to help you outside of your relationship. You know,
yeah,
it's like,
very much so.
And that's one of the, it's very hard, but if you can be like, fuck it, I'm really going to stand up for myself and say what I want, it's going to be good either way.
Well, and I would like, write down, you don't even have to bring this to this conversation, but like, write down what you, what your ideal relationship looks like, and like what you want your life to look like, and like how you want to be supported by a partner, so you can look at it in black and white and be like, oh no, am I getting the things that I'm asking for? No, I'm not. Like, but don't lie to yourself and put it out there. Like, that's what you deserve.
Yeah.
And what, did they ever try to be apart for a week
didn't
or something?
Say anything about that?
I don't remember hearing it, but maybe she needs like a
separation
getaway.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You just get an idea and just make it a deal that you're not going to be in touch.
You know what's going to happen
for the whole week, because you know how he gets.
She's going to have a great fucking time. Yeah. Like, I'm out.
Well, that could happen, and you know, I'll answer your question.
That's true. I mean, yeah, that is a good idea, because then it's like, take away how you think you need to make him feel right now, and just go by yourself and be like, how do I need to feel?
Yeah, what do you need?
And you probably won't be considering him that much, because you'd be like, oh shit, that's been taking a lot of my energy.
Yeah. Yeah, you realize how much energy do you actually have. Yeah, and I mean, you guys have been together for, what is it, 9 years is what they said? I think.
Yeah.
But like, don't, try not to see that as like, you're still only in your 30s, you know?
It's like, not the end, yeah.
It's not the end, and it's also not a failure. It's like an evolution, and it's a massive lesson.
Everyone gets divorced.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, I don't, if that's what's stopping you from like being honest about the situation, a lot of people do get divorced.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But I mean, truly, I'm sorry. I can't imagine that's going to be a really, really hard position to be in.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope your friends are like, you know, reach out to your friends, like take stock in them right now. Cause if you decide to go through with it, obviously you're going to, you know, need that.
This transformative period in therapy thing also feels like he
made it up.
It feels like he made it up.
Just like my therapist told me I need to get my dick sucked more.
Well, it feels like he's also like chickening out on like pulling the trigger.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like.
I think so. That's what
he's setting it up as, like, I'm going through a period where like we might not be together at the end of it, but I'm still gonna love you, and we're gonna see. Like, it does.
Totally.
It feels like he's trying to like slow roll the breakup.
When I got out of my last like long term thing where I had to like I couldn't say what I wanted, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And it just ended up with me crying. Like, he wanted to have sex, and I was just crying. And he was like, do you want to break up? And he had to say it. I couldn't be the one to say it.
Yeah.
And he was just like, ugh, it's so fucking stupid. But sometimes, you know.
You get pushed to that place.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. This sucks.
But here's the thing. On the other side of a breakup, you're going to feel fucking great. Because you did something for yourself, truly just for yourself. And then you get to focus all of the energy that you've been putting into making sure he's okay back onto yourself. And that period is like awesome. Because it's like, oh, I'm free to do whatever I want. And I can fuck it up just for me now.
Exactly.
You know, if you want to. And like refocus on like things that you want to do.
Watch the fuck out of Netflix. You're going to make all the meals you want for you. You're going to do all that shit. It's going to feel so good.
Yeah. How do you want your life to look? Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
The You're more not going to be doing emotional labor for this dude.
I don't, I mean, maybe these are a lot of her choices, but it's like, why isn't he making her the meals with her shit sometimes? You know what I mean? I just feel like, I don't like it.
Well, you know, sometimes people are like really mean towards the end of a relationship because they want you to be the one that breaks up with them. So that could be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. It could definitely be that.
I mean, it sounds like he's being, I think he is chickening. I think that's what it is, though.
Yeah.
But it's like that mix between being like, I want to get out of this, but I can't.
Yeah.
But they only got married 6 months ago. But and they've been together nine years.
So. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Why get married?
I don't know.
They thought it was like going to fix it or something.
Oh, maybe that's what it is. Good point.
We can plan that and then we'll get really serious about this.
Like, but then we're together and then we get no more breakup cycles.
Then we can't break up because then we're married.
Right.
But didn't fix it. Yeah. We're sorry.
But also, sorry. Let us know how it goes
when
you break up with him and feel great.
Yeah. Honestly, you will.
Thank you so much for writing in. Send us your lady to lady problems at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com. I'm tired. I'm on Tell Everybody where they can find you online and find your shows and your...
So you could check out my website, imanentertainment.com.
That's great.
And you could follow me on Instagram and Twitter at imanifik. And
all the puns.
I love puns. Emmanuel Husseini on Facebook. And the Elle Solomons account, my wife and I's cartoon account on Instagram at the Elle Solomons. And that's it.
Awesome.
I'll be all over the place. Canada, the States, always touring.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Go see your guys.
Go see your coming to a place near you. I was going to say state, whatever. Yeah. Canada or states near you.
Or region.
And we'll see you over in the Top Secret Session. Patrons. God, bye.
Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as a dollar a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Lady to Lady Comedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcasts, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And duh, follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review on iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.